No, man, I'm seriously asking, what is this show, man? Two guys making a podcast, got a lot to say, so we talk fast. It's Thursday night, say, two hosts, not miscast. Mike and Johnny, bring the bomb blast. On your Facebook feed, never bypass. Saying bad stuff, leave you flabbergast. Osmos, not super fast. Still, much better than a newscast. Miss the live show, rebroadcast. The Tangent Podcast. Never outclass, man. Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny. Bringing the schmear. Rock for rookies to represent. Let's get the show started, man.
Episode 1 of Season 8 of Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny alongside Mike. I am Johnny, and can I tell you guys something that Michael doesn't want to hear? Is that when we're getting ready to start the show, when I keep saying, let's get this over with. Which is, I'm sure, what you want to hear as the first thing out of my mouth as we embark on a new half-assed season. Three-quarters-ass season of Tangent Podcast.
I'm just thinking that if we want to get it over with, then maybe we should change the theme song to, why isn't this over? Why it's not over?
Yeah.
Yo, so, that was not easy to make that song to begin with.
So we were away for the last couple of months because that's what we do from time to time to time. And we're back now for a new season, ready to regale you with all the tales of our time away. Which is, we spent doing not much because we're still living in a pandemic that we only just emerged from, like butterflies, beating our wings as we emerge from our chrysalis.
Our chrysalis from our cocoons of Netflix and not actual having difficulties. That's not true. I'll tell you what's weird. It's weird to me that there is a bunch of stuff that we were planning on talking about later, but it's weird to me the differences between here and all of our friends and relatives in America. Like, they're just... Okay, first of all, nothing has been closed in America in lots of places around, right? Nothing's been closed, but there's still your sister. When I saw your sister's post, I was like, what?
My sister was too young. And she could not get an appointment to get her vaccine yet.
No, but
she got it. She's going to get it Monday, I think.
I'm not talking about the vaccine. That had been a year and a half since she saw your dad.
I mean, it's almost been two for me.
But that's... No, but you live in another country.
I was supposed to go to New York
again,
last
but
year.
You live in another country. But if everything is open in America, so I'm asking you, what was it that prevented your sister and your father from seeing each other? This isn't about them. This is about America.
Fear. My sister and my dad both took the recommendations of the CDC or whatever it is very seriously. My father is in an at-risk age group and health group.
And he couldn't get those vaccines?
He did. He's fully vaccinated now. It's just that they didn't exist until recently.
Right.
I mean, it's a tremendous human achievement that we were able to get working vaccines as fast as we did. So that's a great thing. So yeah, so she's going to get her vaccine on her first vaccine on Monday. Her husband got his vaccines way early
Facebook has changed since we came back. Now it has option. I don't know. Keep going. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to learn.
So
it's like, cuz you've driven to New York many a time. You know, your father didn't have to, like, get on an airplane with a million people.
But he didn't want... There was all kinds of thought about, like, cross-taminating groups of people. Like, he's going to bring everybody that he's been around with him in Cleveland to New York and this and that. It was, like, a whole thing. And they took it seriously, and they didn't see each other. It does seem weird, the more that I'm trying to explain why they hadn't seen each other.
Because of cross-tamination, yeah.
No, well, let me put it to you this way, right? My dad got married in June of 2019. Right? Yes. Right? And then shit didn't hit the fan until March of 2020. Right?
Right. Because you were at your father's wedding. It was your sister's wedding that you missed. Right? Okay.
Sure
I'm with
at,
you.
Sure
we're all at, caught up.
I'm pretty sure I was at my dad's wedding. By the way, just a side point.
I wasn't there, so I'll have to take your word for it. I mean, you left me for a little while.
It would have been amazing if you were there.
At your father's wedding?
Yeah, but also, like, my daughter and I had a really nice trip together. It was a good bonding experience. It was great.
Okay.
So anyway, what was something funny, like, if your parent, a father or a mother, whatever, ever gets remarried for whatever reason, for me, the weirdest part of the whole wedding was watching his friends sign his ketubah. Because you know what it is? It's like you're sitting around the table, you're 23, 25, 27, whatever, you're young, and all your buddies are like hanging out, and like you're, yeah, and you're like, hey, you're the one, come on, and sign it. And then he comes over and he signs it, right? But they're all in their 60s. It was just weird. It was just, it weirded me out. I don't know why.
You wanted them to like, hey, everyone's really old here. Let's get some younger people.
No,
people will still be alive when I'm like, I hope.
That wasn't it either.
I hope to one day be an aide at your wedding.
Would you like, first of all, you were. Would you like the opportunity to sign?
Again.
Would you like the opportunity to sign two of my ketubas?
That would be crazy, but that, no. I mean, I'm a little bit scared of that. Like,
I probably
the juju, the bad juju.
Let me put it to you this way. Love you as I do, I probably wouldn't ask you the second time. Although, I don't know who I would ask instead to sign
well,
it.
Can I have a bracha under the
That's all you
No,
care
no,
about.
Because I've already gotten that. I've actually have the wedding trifecta. I have the chuppah trifecta. I've done everything but give someone away. I haven't walked someone else down the aisle.
Yeah.
I've done everything else.
Well, you'll have three shots at it.
Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing.
Your oldest is how old? 12? 13?
12.
We've
done the math.
10 years?
It's amazing. Okay, you know how sometimes people have conversations where they're like, hey, you know, if you die one day, like, everybody has the death conversation with their spouse, and everybody thinks about it, but we've already started to have those mock, listen, like, Shalva, who, my 12-year-old, recently found out that our friend Eugenie's wedding, Mayor and Eugenie's wedding, everybody walked down the aisle to, like, a different theme song.
Okay.
She's planning theme song weddings already. She doesn't care at all. She just wants the perfect theme song.
That is completely understandable and is something that I would have expected her to do. But here's something that's going to blow your mind, right? Us Orthodox Jews, we tend to get married quite young, okay? And it isn't inconceivable that your daughter, your oldest daughter, could be married in less than 10 years.
I know. We know. Well, we definitely, like, I remember my parents, at least for my sister, they had, like, a bunch of, you have to accomplish A, B, C before we're going to sign off on it. One of my past students who graduated, who I taught 10 years ago, got married 2 years ago, which made him 20 when he got married. Now, for a Chiloni...
That's rare.
It's super... But he's not Chiloni. Apparently, and it's just like it's a really cool story as a religious person. He, after he finished high school, he was trying to push off going to the army for a little bit. And he decided to go to one of those...
No better way than to get married.
He went to one of those pre-army academies.
Okay.
Right? Like a Mechina, they're called.
Okay.
Mechina Kadem Tzvait. And he went to one of them that was... religious and non-religious people together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And something happened to him while he was there.
Was she there?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
And then...
You could forgive me for thinking that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you're saying that if she were religious and he wanted to get it on, then he probably might have made...
Oh, I wasn't thinking that negatively. I was just thinking that... It's something happening to him would be he likes a girl who's a little bit more religious.
So he went to this mechina and he started like coming back to the school. We were having like all these long conversations about religion and stuff like that. But eventually he went off to the army. And while he was in the army, he kept digging. He kept looking.
If you go to shul in the army, you don't have to, like, so much stuff you don't have to do.
He wasn't going to shul. It wasn't about what he was outwardly doing. It was about how he was inwardly feeling.
Okay.
He was feeling spiritually empty.
Mm-hmm.
And so he kept digging into Judaism. And now he's Chozer B'tshuva, and he married this girl when he was 20, and they've got a baby already.
All right.
And they're living in some hitnachalut, some yeshuv somewhere, some small little, you know, settlement.
Well, I hope it works out for him.
No, but the crazy thing is that everyone thinks he's crazy.
I think he's crazy.
Why?
I got married at 24, and you know how that turned out.
I got married at 24, and you know how that turned out.
So, there's...
So, what does that mean?
So, that means that their sample size of two isn't large enough.
No, no, it's exactly enough, Johnny.
Because 50% of marriages end in divorce. So he's got a coin flip of whether he's going to make it.
Okay, well, you made that super negative.
I don't mean it to say... I don't mean to say...
No, I just mean it's a crapshoot. When
you're 20, you don't know shit.
You make it sound like people who get married at 28 don't get divorced either. If you say 50% of all marriages end in divorce, that means it doesn't matter what age you get married at.
I think the older, more experienced you get... I bet if you look at the divorce rate and the ages... You'll see that they come in waves. I bet that as you get, if you start at 20, let's say, as you get older, the number starts to go down a little bit, and then as you get older again, it starts to come up a little bit.
Okay, one second. I want to react to everything that you just said, but I was reading comments, so I didn't hear the last six words you said. But, hey, what, everybody, what's going on? Everybody listening in, it's so nice to see you. I know that it's been so long, but we need to remind you about a couple of things here on Tangent. Number one, if you are sick of our faces, please jump on over to Mixlr.com/maximum-mic for the audio only. Those of you who are commenting in the comments... I think it's important to remind you that when you guys leave comments about what we're saying, we don't know what the hell you're talking about. Natanael Kleiman, it's nice to hear from you, but when you say that's a terrifying thought, are you talking about Johnny having a great time with his daughter in New York? Are you talking about a guy getting married? Yep, I don't know what you're talking about. It's really hard to follow. Please do one of the... What do you do? Like, tell us what we just said so we can follow along. It's so nice to see you guys, Boris and Gershon, and it's great.
Awesome. I'd also like to say, Boris knows what I'm on about, but for the unfortunate reason that he's been through what I've been through, so...
Okay, he knows what's up. Natanael Kleinman says, divorce rate is actually lower below 23, mainly, so you're talking about Judaism, though, mainly because Haredi marriages where divorce is rare, as far as I know, there's a lot of them who don't get divorced because there's the stigma and the problems and they're too afraid to.
I want big numbers. I don't want, 17 people across the highway from me in B'nai B'rak. I want big ass numbers.
I like our judging life based on just the two of us and just trying to extrapolate from what could possibly be.
Dude, we're so alike.
Obviously, look at us. I swear to God, look at us. We couldn't be more opposite. You got the thin build, I got the wide build. I got the long hair, you got the... At least we both got beards. I kind of want to touch our beards together right now, but because of Corona...
Oh yeah, that's not why. The ceaseless awkwardness that would have come from it.
No, we're quite opposites in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you might be right.
Okay, what were you saying? What was the last thing you were saying? Don't say you don't. Right, we're saying how.
I was saying that Death Magnetic, while not a bad album technically, isn't really that memorable.
Okay, so I don't want to get into the specifics of the album group tonight because I want to keep things...
No, I don't mean... That's not what I meant.
I want to keep things as sour as possible.
But I was trying to think of something to say.
So I'll tell you what my little thoughts are on Death Magnetic one moment, okay? And this is specifically this... Not sure if this has anything to do with you guys.
No, lay it on me.
But the Death Magnetic is one of the best Metallica albums ever. And while I would usually go when there's more of something, it's better. I agree that some of the long songs are slightly too long. I just want to throw that out there. But for the first 2.5 minutes, which is what a good side 3 minutes, 3.5 minute songs are, it's great.
Well, their songs are traditionally much longer than 3 minutes.
So what's the problem with the songs being longer?
I don't care about the songs being longer.
No, whatever.
No, you're having a different...
My coffee is bitter tonight.
We are having two separate conversations at the same time. So basically, what I was trying to say is that I don't want to see... Yeah, okay, maybe in the Haredi community, I want to see worldwide or more countrywide statistics about the age groups and who gets divorced and all that kind of stuff. Now,
divorce rates by age.
Okay, this is going to be really fun.
Divorce rates by age. There's infographics.
The best part about this is that you're not going to specifically get Israel, and you're also not going to... This is a thing that we should have researched before we came onto the show tonight.
Here's a bunch of average... In 2013, Gen X adults aged 40 to 49 averaged 21 divorces per 1,000. Words.
No, don't do this now. It's not going to be good for anybody because we didn't do the research ahead of time. So we're going to move right along. And when we move right along...
I feel like the experiment between the two of us has gone well so far.
What experiment?
Seeing how marriages work out amongst two friends of the same age from...
Well, here's the thing about you, Michael. Here's the thing about you. I'm not gonna infer anything from this, but I will tell you...
I don't know science.
No, not about that. Three of your best friends in the world's marriages or long-term relationships all crashed and burned. Just saying. It has nothing to do with you.
But I signed.
It has to do with our terrible life choices. And by the way, to my daughter, if you're out there listening somewhere, and I'm sure you aren't, I don't consider you a terrible life choice. By the way, let me tell you a story about my daughter. This is great. And it's something she and I were talking about the other day. All right. So we've talked about this on the show before. What?
What you just said.
What? That my daughter's not.
No, the three of my best friends have gotten divorced.
Haven't they?
I don't know. I just never counted them.
Well.
It's a lot.
I mean, we can count more, but I know that, for example, I know that that you and me and the other two guys were a bit of a crew briefly, all four of us, when we could all find the time to get together. Anyway. So my daughter has a dirty ass mouth. She swears a lot. She says...
Incomparable.
She says... Inconceivable. She says a lot of bad words, and the reason why she says a lot of bad words is because her daddy, this guy, has a potty mouth. Now, there was a level that I was hoping to get to with her, and I think that we finally found it. Okay.
Meaning that you wanted her to say just the most disgusting thing ever, the opposite direction?
What I wanted her to do was stop. Okay, that wasn't going to happen. Okay, the cat is out of that bag. But then when I saw, I was like, all right, well, she's not going to stop swearing. So hopefully I can show her, like, what's the deal and how to behave or put a boundary up where she can, I don't know, not do it as much. Well, turns out, and I noticed this, we went on a Teal last week. And through the Teal, it was like Rayo's first, like, big, long, trudging through the dirt kind of Teal.
How'd she do?
She did great.
Okay, great.
She complained a lot of the time, but she made it. She made it to the end. And once she was being congratulated for making it to the end, you could see the satisfaction on her face. Like, she was really satisfied. She felt really good about it.
It changed. The more you do it... And you have to be excited about it.
The more I swear.
The more you hike.
Oh, the more
you hike.
Where am I going? The more we hike. Right. Right, hike. Yeah.
Fuck, Johnny.
Okay, so, here's the thing that I realized. Like a week later, I realized, hey, you know what? For all the complaining she didn't cuss once.
Does she usually cuss when it's more than just you?
That's what I'm trying to get at. I've put the boundary in place. Meaning, I've noticed that it's working. She cusses around me all the time, and let's be really honest, I don't fucking care. I really don't. Like, as long as she's not, what I don't want is for her to go to her mother and start swearing. Or for her to come to this apartment in front of your girls and start swearing. Or for her to be sitting in class and tell her teacher to eat shit and die. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and she's not doing that.
Oh, bro.
Meaning that she understands that with daddy, it's okay to swear a little bit, but that she's got to watch herself when she's around other people. And I'm so proud of her, and I'm really proud of, like, myself, because now, you know what that means? Now I can swear around her again!
I don't think that's the
answer. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be standing around her going, filth, flarn, filth, flarn, filth, every second of the day. But what it does mean is that I don't have to, like, if I need to let one go. Come on, Michael.
You make it sound like if you need to let one go, up until now you haven't let that one go.
I've been more careful.
More careful still means when you need to let one go, you let one go.
Well, now I don't feel bad about it.
I'm just saying that you and I both extrapolate very differently. Whatever, I want to make statistics out of two people, and your conclusion to that whole story is, now you can curse in front of her.
Here's the thing, Boris. It is adorable, but as soon as your little boy does it, you better not laugh, because if you laugh, then you're done. That's what happened to me the first time Ryu dropped the F-bomb. I laughed my ass off, and it's been an uphill battle ever since. And yes, Leora is right. She says it's very different than kids swearing about a situation and then swearing about at other people. I'll just let you know that when she's with me, she does both. apparently the Teal was 5 kilometers longer than we had planned it to be. It was like 8+ kilometers total that we hiked that day, and she made it, so bless her.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And that was a great, you know, it felt great after that, jumping in the swimming pool. Okay, so it was just like cool, and I like it that we can now kind of swear together. Never mind, I'm not going to say it. Like, I do this thing with my
dick. Now you guys can play Cards Against Humanity together.
No, I don't mean it like... I'm not talking about, saying gross jokes or anything like that. I'm not making, dick jokes or anything. It's just dropping swear words at situations.
Okay.
You know, with stuck in traffic, you gotta let one go every once in a while.
I will retain my right to be the shoulder angel that warns.
I want my daughter to feel like when she's with me, it's a safe space. And it's okay to swear with me. It really is. As long as she keeps the space clear. Like, as long as she understands the boundary. And she seems to.
Okay. That's fine. Okay.
You know what happened a couple weeks ago?
I'm okay with my kids not swearing in front of me and still feeling that they have a safe space, too. We watched Guardians of the Galaxy a week ago. I didn't remember how much cursing was in that movie. And everybody's son of a bitching and shitting and everything. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And then, nothing. You know, she was just like, she made a comment though. She was like, I'm kind of surprised you let me watch them.
Which child?
Guardians of Shova, obviously. Oh, all right. But it was just like, it was more than, you know, and when, whatever. I don't know. It was, she's fine.
She's fine.
She's fine. That's how most of those conversations end.
She's also 12 and she understands.
Listen, at the moment, my biggest issue is, and it's something that I got over very quickly, she's currently obsessed with murderers, like monsters and murderers and horror video games and...
That's
like
every
Slenderman.
Child. That's every...
Every 12-year-old girl's obsessed with,
yes,
Slenderman.
Yes, of course they are. It's all 4chan, 9gag stuff.
I don't know. But here's the thing. For a while, I was like, why? Out of everything you could possibly be obsessed with, stop showing grandma your pictures of murderers that you've been drawing. And then I realized, you know, I listen to death metal. What's really the difference between singing about Satan and murder and fighting and war and all that and her drawing pictures of
The only thing that's different is the medium.
Right, that's all. So that was it, and I got over it, and that was... Didn't make a big deal out of it.
Right.
I did one of those, I don't get it, but that's okay. And I walked away, and that was it.
Right. And then she said...
And she's still sending, you know, every time she draws something amazing, she's like, can you send this to Jenny?
Sometimes she sends it to me herself.
Yeah.
Which I think is great. You know, one day, by the way, when she brings a boy home, I'm gonna need to meet him too.
Okay, I'm sure you'll be here when it happens already.
I'll probably be here that Shabbat, yeah. I'll take him aside. I'll be like, listen, I know that he's really her dad, but I also care, so you better straighten up and fly right.
Can I tell you something amazing that happened to me today?
Absolutely.
Okay, so today was Holocaust Remembrance Day. And I'm a homeroom teacher for 10th graders, which means that I am required by the school to do some sort of Holocaust lesson and talk about it. I have to watch the ceremony with them. Every year you have to come up with something else to talk about. Mm-hmm. So it's actually been a long time, but I went back and I did my Never Again Disturbed lesson with the students, okay, right? And I did it 3 times today. Because I did it with the 11th graders, and then I did it with my homeroom class in 10th grade, and then I did it again with my other 11th grade class. I also cried while I was watching the Tekkis. right? And then I had to record a recording later that was about something called the Paperclip Project. Was about these kids in Tennessee who collected, and they were talking about murdered children. I cried like 3 or 4 times today. I'm so uber sensitive to the Holocaust now, and it occurs to me that I'll be back in Poland next year, Corona permitting, for those kids who have to go to Poland. But here's what I wanted to tell you. Here was my little bit of show off. So I'm teaching about Disturbed, and I'm going through the lyrics, and I'm explaining that I was like explaining how they said there's a lyric in the song where they say exterminated by the Nazi war machine, right? Okay. And I was like, guys, what does exterminate mean? And they were like, La Schmied, right? Which means to exterminate. I'm like, yeah, but extermination has another translation in Hebrew, right? In English, we say you exterminate a population, but you also exterminate
bugs,
right? And I was like, guys, how do you say, what's the translation? What's an exterminate?
Hadbara. That's right. What's resus?
That's to spray.
Oh, okay.
That's the spraying, right? So I was like, they were literally talking about just, you know, that's what you do to bugs and all that stuff. And every line, and I added something, and when it was all over, I was just talking about how I was tired of them constantly getting the message that they only had to be sad about the Holocaust. But you were also allowed to feel feelings of anger about the Holocaust, and that's why I appreciate the metal song so much, because most Holocaust songs are super sad.
Right.
You know, our techist today, the ceremony that we had was like saxophone and a piano and acoustic guitar, and the students who sang, they were just like, I cried during Hatikva after, like, it was crazy. But at the end, I was just like, you gotta be so angry, and I spoke about my grandfather, and in the end, and I was like, and I just sort of finished it off, and I just sort of let my voice drop. None of this was on purpose. It was just like, and you know, guys, and it's just, I just really wanted to share that with you. I guess that's it. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And I hear at the back of the classroom, some girl turns to the other and goes, wow, that was an amazing fucking class.
Fucking?
No, but she said it in Hebrew, but she was just like, wow, that was an amazing lesson. And even though I was still teared up from just the stuff that we were going to talk about, I was just like, yes.
You're just like, nailed it.
Considering that I had like no planning when it, yeah.
I have the
sheets that I gave them had the wrong lyrics in it. Like, I'm super unprepared.
I have a meeting every Thursday with a group of people work-wise, and they have a...
Keep going. I'll tell you if there's anything to...
What?
I'll tell you if there's anything.
Hey, I'm old-fashioned when it comes to talking to boys. I don't know. When
Johnny says that he needs to meet the guy, it's not about giving permission, because I'm also well aware with, listen, whoever my daughter falls in love with, that's going to be her choice. Obviously, as a parent, it's my job to protect my child. It's not man versus woman. If I had a son and he was marrying some batshit crazy woman, I would also want to say something about that. But what Johnny's really saying is he wants to be there for that moment.
What I'm really saying is that I like Michael's daughter and I feel like I have a good relationship with her. That's all. Okay, next. So I have this meeting, right? So sometimes these meetings are like, we don't really have a ton to talk about, but we kind of just like stay on with each other and kind of shoot the breeze for a little bit. So today I told them a little bit about Holocaust Remembrance Day, and I told them about what happens in the, in this country when the siren goes off and how the whole country stops for
right, because your team is not in Israel.
No, they're in, this team is in, one is in, let's just call it a team. One is in Boston, one is in Indianapolis, and they're both very not Jewish. And
kind
of
Jewish. Yeah.
Well, it was funny. It was like, I said something, I forgot what I had said, and then one of the women in the meeting, she's like, just as an exclamation, was like, oh, Jesus. And I was like, I can assure you, he had nothing to do with it. And she started laughing. Anyway, so I sent them videos of
I'm listening to him,
the
just trying
country
to share.
Stopping when during the azaka, during the siren. Mm-hmm. And they were both completely blown away by it, which I thought was pretty cool, like to see.
You could send them like some of the cool montage videos that they
I just
have
sent
of
them,
people.
I specifically sent them ones from this year because I wanted it to be topical. And I just found a good one that shows the shows. It's like basically showing everybody walking around, and it's like 9:59, and then it clicks to 10 o'clock, the siren starts happening, and then you can see the highway stop, you can see everything stop. It's really cool.
I'll tell you something that was really... I have two non-Jewish students in my class, and sometimes I say stuff, and I'm like, you know, because we're all Jews. And then I'm just like, as it's already out, and I'm just like, oh, I want to take that back.
Except for
I never say that, God forbid. And I'll be like, because, you know, we're all Jews, or whoever we are, you know. But today, when you talk about Holocaust Remembrance Day, and I'm trying to get the students to super connect to their families and their roots and their lives here, so I got to talk, I spoke about the atrocities that were going on towards the Russians from the, like, I managed to sort of bring everyone in, but I have this Protestant Christian kid in my class, and I teach my students a lot about Christianity, which I learned a lot about in my BA is right. English, so I know what I'm talking about for a lot of the cases, but what I have been enjoying a lot is after class, I'll be like, hey, wait up, and then I'll be like, how'd I do? And then I'll have we had a 10-15 minute conversation after everybody had already left, and he was talking to me how like Protestants think about, because I was talking about a bunch of stuff, and I said, how'd I do? He goes, well, everything you explained was all Catholic, so I don't know what a vicar is what he was trying to tell me, and I was like, oh, so how do you guys relate to Catholicism? And he was like, we were telling it, and I was explaining how
he was like, well, we killed them.
Is that
and in turn were killed by them.
So this, from what he explained, is like, well, we think they're just wrong. Completely wrong, and they're not really
right
at all. And he's like, and then he asked me, he's like, what about? And he asked me, and I was so happy. He's like, what about in Judaism? And I was like, we have a billion different groups also, but we're told that we're all supposed to get along no matter what.
Right.
Well, and he's like, we don't have that. No, that was his response. He goes, we don't have that.
By the way, Malia asks, oh my God, is this a mirage? No, I'm telling y'all it's sabotage. Just to answer your question.
What?
Now, we're going back. What? I just had to do that.
It's on my list, by the way, for Rock for Rookies 5.
Sabotage?
For the next, yeah.
Cool. You could probably sing that one.
I'm if afraid of screaming. Yeah, that's a problem. Either way, I'm very excited about that. That's one of the ones that I know that Tal will let me get away. Like, we'll both want to do that song. I just want to throw that out there. Hey, Tal, it's nice to see you. Malia, it's so nice to see you.
Yeah, so, and by the way, speaking of music, I reached a milestone today, which anybody who's friends with me on Facebook will know, and anybody who's been around me for the last year and a bit will know. I undertook the challenge to listen to every album in the 1001 albums to listen to before you die book.
Congratulations, you didn't die while listening to it.
I didn't die while listening to
it. Which, by the way, is saying something considering what year we're in.
Considering that it was 2020. And basically, the album list had ballooned at the time, over time, because eventually I started just like letting, once I got to like the 80s, I started letting people suggest albums that they wanted me to add to the list, and I added a
Why Dafka the 80s was when, or just you were just like,
Well, people said, hey, can I tell you something to put on your list? And I would say, as long as it's after whatever year I'm up to.
You're not going
to
go back. You ain't going back.
I'm not going backwards. Like, you want me to listen?
Do you have, here's something I'd like you to look at.
So I just want to say, I listened to 1,132 albums minus 43. So what is that? One second.
1,100 albums minus 43.
One second, I'll do the math very quick.
1,100?
1,132.
32 minus 43.
1,080. I listened to 1,089 albums over the last year and a month. In addition to all the other music that I've listened to.
Here's something that I would really like you to look at. Okay? This isn't necessarily about me, but I'd like it to be about me. Look at all the albums that people recommended to you. Right? How many of them ended up being not necessarily albums that you loved, but albums either that you did love that weren't on the list, or albums that you agreed should have been on the list? Because I know that there were a lot of albums that you didn't like, but there were also albums that you thought shouldn't have been on the list.
The one that sticks out in my head that should have been on the list but wasn't on the list.
That was recommended to
you. That was recommended to me was Spice by the Spice Girls. I think that it is an important album for pop music in the 90s. It made them literally the biggest thing on the planet for a good 3-4 years. And I think that it's an... And it also...
And it also covered your whole boy band,
girl
band.
And it leads into the boy band thing, which is hot garbage. By the way...
Did you have to listen to any boy band albums?
Not one.
Not even like a New Kids on the Block album in the 90s?
I had one Boys to Men album, but I love Boys to Men.
I don't think they count as a boy band. I think they're a band of boys, but I don't think they're a boy band, are they?
I mean, their genre...
Were they put together artificially?
I don't know. I don't know. Genre-wise, they're New Jack Swing.
Right, but... / R&B.
Well, New Jack Swing is R&B.
Okay.
It's
all
just
right,
R&B
but
set to a hip-hop beat with a little
bit. I agree 100% with you.
And by the way, another one that stuck out as one that I never thought I would like in a million years was the Jimmy Buffett album that you told me to listen to. So Michael's 2-for-2.
I don't even care. Again, it just felt that they should have been on the list.
Right.
And I recommended a later album to you. I think his earlier stuff should have been on the 1001 Greatest.
Yacht Rock.
That's what I'm saying.
I like Yacht Rock because I really like...
I've tried so hard.
Because I love... One second, let me find
Isn't
it.
He Americana, the guy that you're about to say?
Michael McDonald?
Yeah, isn't that called...
He can go both ways. But I just want to give you, like, my quick breakdown for those of you who don't know the post, okay? So of all the albums that I listened to, 137 albums were just incredible.
Can you rank them? Like, not at the second. I'm asking, would you, for yourself...
Rank them amongst them, which ones are the best? Listen, my top five albums of all time hasn't changed.
Are your top five albums all on that list?
I added the ones that weren't. Yes.
Does that count?
I don't know, but I wanted to listen to them again.
No, what are your top five albums that you hadn't listened to before?
I have to go and look at that.
That's what I like. I want you to start like making... You
lists
know,
within
all
lists.
The time that we have been together, you and I have never done a March Madness anything with Tangent. And I always felt that that was like...
Well,
a
we
miss.
Can start with
We
these...
never did it with Rock for Rookies.
If I can narrow these 137 albums down... to 64, we can think about doing a tournament. But you're not going to like the things that I like. And your opinions on these albums are going to be way different from mine because there's not going to be
if
a Led Zeppelin album on this list.
If we do March Madness, do our own thing, it's not going to be just... I'm saying you should do that for your albums, but we need to find something tangent.
That would be cool.
That we can March Madness.
That would be cool. But here's the thing,
I will say this.
I don't think this is really much of a competition. I think that the greatest rock band of all time is Led Zeppelin. Okay?
Okay.
But I don't have any Led Zeppelin albums on the list. On my favorite list. I can put them up there because they deserve their place in rock history. Okay? They deserve it. They belong up there on the top of Mount Olympus. I have no problem with them being there. But that said, I just don't have the same relationship with them as I did when I was in high school. And some of their music feels overplayed. That is...
I didn't know you were a Led Zeppelin fan in high school.
I was. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
I disagree. But
130... I mean, AC/DC... AC/DC is a fair... AC/DC could be 1A and 1B. I mean, they
okay,
are...
Okay, fine.
This
now
way.
I accept.
If you say, who are the rock bands that are on Mount Rushmore... Okay, half of those bands are going to be Zeppelin and AC/DC.
I feel like Rush should be on the Mount Rushmore of...
I see what you did there.
The rock bands on Rushmore. We'll just get rid of the... Okay.
Right. 670 albums were just a nice listen. Something new, something old, something I had heard, something I haven't. Just a thumbs up and a handshake. Good job. That's swell music. So maybe a song or two makes it into my permanent playlist. Okay. 183 albums were like, I don't know about this. It's not really my thing. Maybe I'll skip this song. I don't know about this. And 89 albums were complete bullshit.
It just occurred to me I'd rather do a March Madness out of the worst albums.
It's gonna all...
What is the worst album?
The worst album on the entire list.
On the entire
you ready
list.
You ready for this, everybody? You're not gonna... You're not going to believe what I'm about to say. And before we get into that, I'd like to thank this episode's sponsor. No, I'm kidding. We don't have any sponsors.
Johnny and I would never have an argument about Jimmy Page and Robert Plant. I don't understand
what's the argument.
I don't even know what the argument is. That I mean, they're in the same
band. In the same band and they have different jobs. What would they be arguing about? Okay, now.
It's AC/DC.
Worst album that I had to listen to of all was Arrival by ABBA. ABBA, I don't care who you are or where you're from, ABBA sucks. It sucks. It's so bad. It's like being waterboarded with cotton candy. Okay? I felt like I was becoming diabetic while I was listening to it. It was just the most saccharine sweet. It sucks. Here's a bunch of other stuff that sucks. Okay. Here's some more hot takes and unpopular opinions. The Velvet Underground, they suck. Okay. Some of Bob Dylan really sucks. Okay. And here's another one. This is gonna be another very unpopular opinion, guys. And I'm sorry about this.
What's the song?
What song?
In an unpopular opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Here comes the hit. Yeah. Something that you, up till now, you were afraid to admit or something like that. Here's another unpopular opinion. Leonard Cohen sucks. His music is like listening to gravel. No, that's the other guy. Tom Waits sucks. His music is different than Leonard Cohen. Leonard Cohen, at least I can say this about Leonard Cohen's, there's an earnestness to Leonard Cohen's music. It feels authentic. It's boring, and I feel like I'm dying of a heroin overdose.
I get Tom Waits confused with Gary Busey.
I can hear that. Tom Waits' music is like listening to a rock tumbler like make gravel. That's what it's like listening to. While you're standing in the middle of a macabre carnival. Tom Waits' music is so bad that it feels like his entire career is a joke that is being perpetuated on the entertainment community. And then everybody just decided, you know what? Let's all be a bunch of pretentious people and just like say that we like this. Maybe they're playing. Let me put it to you this way. Have you ever heard of a painter named Henri Rousseau?
Obviously.
Okay. Henri Rousseau was a Belgian painter in the 1800s. He was a contemporary of Pablo Picasso and a lot of those other guys. And he had a very exaggerated way of painting that at the time wasn't really looked upon very fondly. However,
you mean
he
like started what's to grow his face from the Nether from Van Gogh, who was also not Van, looked
he was,
upon.
He was like 100 years later than Van Gogh. But there was something about Rousseau that Picasso liked and that his contemporaries liked, and they like inflated his career and helped him get ahead. And it, some people think that the reason why Picasso did that was as a joke to try to get somebody with inferior talent ahead in the world of art. Now, nobody can confirm or deny this, but it's a theory that some people have had about his art. I find his art to be absolutely beautiful.
So we started off by saying that the worst album on 1000 and
it was so bad.
ABBA. Okay, now here's so the bad. Problem with the entire concept. Here's the thing that I have the hardest time with in the album group that you and I are in, and just the challenge itself that you gave yourself. Listening to an album is difficult. That's why the concept of a hit
for you
exists.
For you.
I think. Right, dude. Candy is not meant to be swam in. It's meant to be dessert.
When that album came out in whatever it was, 1974, music was not consumed that way. You either listened to it on the radio,
which means you got the hit,
or you had it as a record, which means you listened to the record, or you didn't have it.
Except when I first when.
That's what's so bad about the 8-track era. Right?
Okay.
The 8-track era was bad because oftentimes in an effort to save space on the sides of the 8-track, the publishers would put the songs out of order. So you make a concept album. It has 12 songs on it. You've specifically picked the song order in order to make a narrative to tell your fans a story as the album goes on. Then the 8-track guy goes, well, song number 6 doesn't fit on side 1, so I'm going to trade it with song number 8, but then I'm going to be too short on that, so I'm going to mix all these albums up, and they ruin your work.
Okay, most albums are not concept albums. They're the minority.
But there's
of
a
albums.
Reason why they're in the order that they're in.
Not always.
Always.
But they're not always connected at all.
I'm not saying
that they're connected. I'm fucking excellent at making playlists. I make songs from completely different genres blend together like silk.
I believe
it's
you.
It's one of my only superpowers.
It's a great power.
It's a great power. However, let me give you an example of what most of us, and I have to talk to everybody who used to buy CDs. Tell me if I'm wrong. Okay? This is just, I pulled it off my shelf. As you can see in the background, I still have all of my CDs from my life. Plus, anytime anybody else wants to get rid of CDs, I collect them and I give them. I like rescue CDs, like some people rescue animals. Johnny just gave me like 10 CDs.
I rescue model cars and action figures.
Okay, here is a CD I pulled off my shelf. This is Black Sunday by Cypress Hill from 1992. This album has one single super duper legendary amazing hit on it.
Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane. Johnny, do you know why I bought this CD?
For that song.
For that song.
And guess what?
And when
you got
I
with
bought
it?
This
another hour of cool music.
I did. But when I bought this album, do you know what I listened to?
That song over
that
and over
song
again.
On repeat.
That's fine.
And I'm very lucky. I consider myself lucky that I found a bunch of other cool songs. But I can take this same album and listen to it on shuffle, and my experience will not change.
Here's where it gets a little bit weird with the example that you just gave. Because now that I've listened to all this music, and I've listened to all the seminal albums of hip-hop.
Was this on your list?
I might have listened to... Yes, there was one Cypress Hill album.
If it wasn't this one, then somebody made a mistake.
It
okay,
was.
All right.
Okay. I'll find out later. I'll tell you guys on the next episode, but I really won't. It's not that I won't, I just won't remember, okay? If that makes you feel any better. So, rap albums, interestingly enough, are the most conceptual, statistically, of all the different albums. Because rap albums have skits in them, they have sets in between songs, they have stuff that blends into each other to the point where it's supposed to be listened to all the way through.
Most rap album skits are people having sex. Or shooting each other.
Or doing drugs. But either way, they all exist.
Here's a song about sex, doing drugs, and shooting people. What should we put in between the songs? I don't know. How about either sex, doing drugs, or shooting people? So conceptual.
The point is that it's arranged in a way where it all flows. Listen to Life After Death. No. Ready to Die by Notorious B.I.G.
You need to give me a rap album that I've listened to that has skits on it to challenge me to see whether or not it matters.
I don't know that.
Eminem's album, the Marshall Mathers LP, the one that has Kill You and the Real Slim Shady that. There are skits in that song. They have nothing to do with the rest of the album. It's Eminem making fun of some record producer called Rick Berman, and at the end he murders him.
Yeah, Rick Berman.
But they're irrelevant to the songs.
By the way, let me say this about Eminem. I didn't like his music so much. And I think it's more just that it doesn't...
And by listen to enjoy his music, you mean the album that...
I listened to two of his albums.
Two or two albums on your 1001 music list?
By Eminem?
Yeah.
Eminem's a legend.
I don't care. It doesn't make sense that one artist would get two albums on a 1001 albums list and then some other album.
What do you mean? One artist? The Beatles had 6. Bob Dylan had fucking 7.
That seems like a waste.
It was.
It seemed... No, for anyone on the... There's so much music and so many different kinds and ideas and concepts. And to force you to have to listen to the same guy... Eminem's music didn't change between albums. It was Eminem rap.
Well, it was...
Bob Dylan, I think... I mean, he doesn't sound the same now as he did then. He just still sounds like Bob Dylan, though.
No, that's not true, though, because I liked some of his music a lot, and some of his music I wanted to
you
jump out a
window.
You
keep saying some of his music, you mean certain songs from the albums.
No, even full albums. I think as his music... I think the earlier stuff was really just some dude with a guitar and a really nasal voice going, right? And that sucks. It's really annoying. But as his as the production and instrumentation starts to expand,
well, yeah, Dr. Green Thumb isn't on this album, but Encore is a good album. Hits from the Bong is amazing.
Everybody's Got to Come Along. Sorry,
that's as a child, I loved Son of a Preacher Man, and so like when you.
The Dusty Springfield?
That's what the beat is from.
Okay, yeah.
That's what the beat is from.
There were two Dusty Springfield albums on the list, and they were
pretty
both,
cool.
They were both great. Dusty Springfield. I discovered Springfield them on Spotify. Like, woman.
I mean, Dusty Springfield. What?
Okay. You're thinking of Buffalo Springfield, which is the Stop Now, What's That Sound? Everybody Look What's Going Down. That's the 60s. That's the Stephen Stills and Graham Nash band before Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. Dusty
Maybe.
Springfield.
I'm gonna just take your
Dusty
word for
Springfield
it.
Is a white woman. British woman
okay.
who sang American soul music.
Okay,
she's awesome.
Okay,
awesome.
I will check that out.
Yeah, Dusty Springfield is great, especially the song. I don't remember what it's called. Anyway, and I'll give you the quick breakdown, and then I think we'll end the show. Well, no, you want
to? No, there
else?
Was definitely something I wanted to
oh,
talk
about. Oh, you
want about.
To talk about that thing?
I wanted to, yeah.
Oh, the Aliyah thing.
I wanted
okay.
to talk about the Aliyah
So then very quickly, and then we'll talk about the Aliyah thing, and then we'll say goodnight. Okay, so very quickly. The music of the 50s is a lot of jazz and a lot of crooner music, but it was decent. Little Elvis, what's it called? The Louvin Brothers, what are those famous two guys? Not the whatever. Doesn't matter.
The Doobie Brothers?
No, they're 70s. I love. There were no Doobie Brothers on the list. I love the Doobie Brothers. The music of the 60s is amazing. As you get into the later 60s, into the early 70s, all the like during Vietnam, the music was incredible. As soon as Vietnam ends...
If I can make a recommendation for a Vietnam music soundtrack, The Vietnam War by Ken Burns, that whole documentary that I tell everybody about that was on Netflix for a while, the entire set list for that entire documentary was just packed with all that music, is on Spotify, and I super recommend
it's like, hey,
it.
Do you guys,
so...
Hey, would you guys, do you guys want
to
hear
Fortunate
Son?
I had to get, times? I had to ban that song from Spotify. I knocked it off my list, and I put the... They kept playing it. It was my number two listen to song.
It's a good song. Here's something that I didn't remember.
It's not my favorite
song. Here's
something
that I forgot. You know what I forgot?
Spotify just kept giving it to me.
Something that I forgot that I loved rediscovering as the... I forgot how much I like CCR.
Ugh. Okay, you know Kahana, right?
Yeah,
from
yeah.
Shredhead?
Yeah.
Favorite band.
Cool.
That's his favorite band.
Yeah, especially the song Bad Moon Rising.
Mm-hmm.
And,
back door.
And
I like
do,
back
do,
door.
Look it out my back door. Love that.
That's
song.
From the Big Lebowski.
It's
so
a great song.
Yeah. Okay.
Fantastic song.
You were saying something.
Then, as the 70s go on, you can literally hear music becoming more corporate. You can hear music becoming the music business. Okay. And there's a bunch of 70s rock bands that all sound the same, and it was got really tedious and annoying. Then punk rock happens, which is annoying. New wave is cool. Early new wave
is
pretentious.
If you think about Sun Records, that was business. All of the
no, but it felt corporate. It started to get more corporate.
But those were guys with contracts, and everybody was getting screwed, and it was all about the money. And
right,
there was like that
right,
was
right,
already
actually,
back in
right,
the 50s.
Right. Well, it sounds more
okay. I'm not saying
so
that
the music
didn't sound
the music
corporate.
Sounds,
I'm saying
sounds more.
They were letting them do whatever the hell they wanted. But one person made a hit, and the rest of his music sounded like that
right.
back in the 50s.
It sounded more yeah.
Little Richard had Tutti Frutti got big. Every song he ever made after that sounded like Tutti Frutti.
Well, you know, he's got to get paid. And then the music of the 80s, I love. The music of the 90s is half of the 90s is really good. A third of the 90s, a third of the 90s is great. A third of the 90s is okay. And a third of the 90s stinks. The worst decade of music, in my opinion, 2000 to 2010. It was terrible. Janelle Monáe rocks. It was amazing. She was great. Beyoncé, I listened to a few of her albums. She was also great. And then music gets good again for me at 2010. And music gets really good for me after 2015.
So I will give you the aughts of the 2000s, but only starting in 2002, 2003.
Because you love nu metal. I understand. Okay, Michael.
Okay, wait. I wanted to offer, if anyone is interested, because you said the 50s and 60s were wonderful, I have been compiling a greatest hits of the 50s and 60s playlist on Spotify. I'm already up to like 400 songs because I'm trying to recreate the oldies station that I used to listen to when I was a kid with my parents. And it's got everything from like doo-wop and soul and
Motown.
Motown and rock and roll. And it's got, it's, it starts with Elvis Presley Hotel,
you have
Heartbreak Hotel.
Do you have some Temptations on there?
I do.
Diana Ross?
I do.
Supremes?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Stevie Wonder?
I mean,
well, the truth is that Stevie Wonder...
No, that's 70s. I have Ray Charles.
Stevie Wonder had a pre, like, Dreads spiritual scene where he was a Motown
I finally
kid.
Added Superstition to my light songs.
That's a good
because Spotify also kept trying to shove that down
okay,
my throat,
so
and it was all funky.
Let's get to our last story of the
so
night.
So if anyone's interested, please hit me up, and I'll send you that 50s and 60s playlist. Okay, so one of the things that I said, okay, we're going to be starting tangents, so we need to have some main conversation, and it's not going to be long, because I myself have already worked through a lot of my issues with it. Okay, so what was going on? Help me fill it out, and everyone, you guys can help me. There was a huge protest, because... Olim to Israel, specifically American Olim, were protesting and saying it's not fair that the country will not let in family members, specifically talking about immediate family members, specifically talking about weddings and funerals and children who were sick. And like, when you say it in those specific words, like a parent should be at their child's wedding. A parent should be at their child's wedding, right? And then all those people are like, oh, I have my mother has never even seen my child yet. You know, and like, but at some point with the protest, now I know that they already opened stuff up and there was a huge problem to begin with where they kept saying that there is a process to be let in. But no one was being let in. Like, people weren't even getting replies. People weren't giving, it was just nothing. So they started this whole process, and finally now they're beginning to let people in. Before I continue saying something so I don't stick my foot in my mouth, my mother went to my niece's bat mitzvah last May, but then she was the only exception. But that was last May. We're talking about in the last, like, 4 or 5 months, 6 months, there's been just, like, a zero. Because, like, planes were still going back then a little bit. But there became a point, and again... I know that lots of people have very specific issues. There's a woman in our community who was telling me about some very, very important family issues. And there was a family member who was very sick and they weren't letting the parents come in. And specific issues. On the other hand, there were a lot of people who just sounded super effing whiny. I sacrificed so much to make Aliyah, and the country's doing nothing for me.
So leave. I want those people to leave when they say that. The only thing I can think of is like,
sacrificed
bye.
To come to this country? Nobody... There was an episode of South Park where Stan was getting abused, but he was getting abused for a better, for an important reason. Like, he was just letting Cartman abuse him, right? And in the beginning, it was like, he's like, I can't take it anymore. And some, I can't remember what happened in the cartoon, but someone's like, you are helping world peace exist by taking all of Cartman's abuse. And what happened to him is he started walking around going, I can't tell you. But you have to understand that I'm saving the world. And then at which point all of his friends turned on him because, like, you can't not tell and be smarmy about it. You can't make Aliyah and then make the sacrifice and then go, look at me.
What are you talking about? That's what an entire generation of Olim do. That's the whole point of making Aliyah. To go stick it in the face of the people you can't stand back at home. Like when I moved to Israel... There's tons of people
like
that.
When I was
on
my lunar
now,
rover.
The good news is that we're not friends with any people like that. But there are tons of people like that. Again,
obviously, both Johnny and I realize that there are very specific issues that need to be taken care of. But a grandparent meeting their grandchild is not the end of the world. And we're in a pandemic. I understand that things needed to change, and I understand the process was dead and was not moving at all. And I also understand that the protest worked. A bunch of people get out and say, we're Olim, you don't care, lone soldiers, Israel loves lone soldiers. Fine. But there was also that, like, you missed your sister's wedding.
I did.
And it sucked ass for you, and you will always regret having missed it, and it was terrible. But on the other hand, you also realize thousands of people were dying daily across the planet, and travel was a dumb effing idea to do. And they should have closed the airports even earlier.
Yeah, by the way, the flights that I had been on, that we had, my flights happened. My flight to America that I was supposed to be on happened. I just wasn't on it.
Looking back.
Yes.
You will never not regret having missed her wedding.
Well,
but do you think you made a good decision? Do you think you made a smart decision?
Of course I do. The thing is that I didn't really miss her wedding. She didn't have a wedding.
Okay.
In the end, she got married on a sidewalk outside of her apartment building in Teaneck, New Jersey, right? What was supposed to happen was that in the end that they had ordered a bunch of food and they were all going to go to my cousin's in Highland Park. And they were going to get married in my cousin's huge backyard in Highland Park, and there was going to actually be something resembling a wedding. Okay?
I want to point out one thing that was kind of what one of the reasons that it made it so upset is that you have all these people who are going, what about us? Okay, you know, like, I have a student, I don't want to go into a lot of details. So, I have a student who went through more stuff than you could possibly imagine, and his parents were locked out of the country for 6 months. 6 months! One of my students didn't have his father or mother for 6 whole months. He didn't have parents.
Where was he living with?
With his grandmother. He had to move in with his grandmother because his house was empty because his parents were not in Israel and the country wouldn't let them in.
Okay.
And I'm saying, like, that is... You talk about grandmothers and grandchildren, or you haven't seen... An underage minor was without his parents. And the country wasn't letting them in either. And they were Israeli. They are Israeli. So forget about non-Israelis. Israelis weren't allowed to come back.
That's
like,
right.
So, like, put it into... like...
There's in these kind of situations... People have a tendency to compartmentalize, and they go and retreat within, and it's hard for them to see outside of their own field of vision. So I can understand why people feel that, you know, they sacrifice, or I mean, I don't agree with them, and I think they need to sit down and shut the hell up, but I understand why they feel that way. You know?
Malia has a point that I was discussing with my wife the other day. 20 years ago, people... 20 years ago. I came here 20 years ago. 30, 40 years ago, you moved to another country. There was a damn good chance that your parents were never going to meet your children. We are the most... This is... Okay. What's super interesting about the North American Aliyah is it's one of... I can't think of any other, mind
you. It's the only time people leave a better life... for a worse situation, so to speak, and go to a worse place when they can have a better life where they live.
Now, I already have my own opinions about why people consider moving from America to Israel to be a step down. And by the way, one of my theories is that they go, well, I made Aliyah to this country, and then this country's so backwards, and you have to accomplish, you have to go to... I'm like... You know, if you became an adult in America, you'd probably also have to do all that. If you moved from New York to California when you were 18,
wherever
you become
an adult, that's where you have to adult. Okay, so the question isn't whether the country's backward. The question is how badly do you want to adult?
Or how bad are you at becoming an adult?
I remember once I went to an Aliyah greeting ceremony. And this guy got off the plane in a blue and white, in a blue t-shirt with white on it.
Wait a minute, you mean here in Israel,
yeah.
Aliyah ceremony of people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my childhood best friend came with his family, we went to greet him, and this guy got off the plane, he was wearing a t-shirt with Herzl on it, and it said, Im Tirtzu Ein Zo Agada, the person is interviewing people as they get off the plane, and she goes, "Hey, what's up with your t-shirt?" And he goes on this, like, whole thing about Herzl and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, man, the first time that dude has to go to a public office in this country, he's going to get slapped down so hard. And I kind of, at the time, wanted to be there to see it. You know, just to be like, hey, dude, huh? What was that about Im Tirtzu and what? Yeah.
Listen, I mean, I was never an adult in America, but from what I understand, the DMV is hell on earth, or that the jokes about
DMVs
it were.
DMVs are hell on earth everywhere.
But that's my point. That's a bureaucracy. That's an office, and you gotta fill out the forms, and they make you wait in lines, and then you wait in the wrong line, and it sucks, and you're in America, and you still don't know what the hell you're doing, because your bureaucracy is backwards. And in this country, I speak Hebrew. After 25 years, I'm at, like, 88%, which is a made-up number that I'm, you know. I went to Misrata Panim. This woman starts asking, she goes, hey, do you want the or do you want the and I said, I'm really sorry, what's the difference between them? And she went, hey, do you want the or the I can't say yes or no. And she started yelling at me that I wouldn't make a decision on no knowledge. Welcome to bureaucracy. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Bureaucracy sucks ass no matter where you are.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Maybe not in Canada. I don't know. Right.
But the thing is that, like, it's very rare also to be able to be in a situation where you can emigrate to a country and immediately and automatically become a citizen, right? With all the rights afforded to said citizens. It's you can't really compare it to people who are emigrating to America, whether they're doing it legally or illegally or for whatever reason, because they're not coming there and immediately saying, here's your ID card, you're now a citizen, come on board, we're going to have an election in a year, don't worry if you miss it, there'll be another one a year after
also,
that.
Also, all these people who made Aliyah with Nefesh B'Nefesh,
what?
You don't even know what it was like making Aliyah before Nefesh B'Nefesh.
Okay.
It took us a year.
Yeah, Michael.
It took us a year.
I know, Michael.
It took
Michael,
us a year.
Michael, life was better when it sucked. I know. We used to sit at...
No, it wasn't better. It was worse.
We used to sit around at camp with a heated pool and be like, camp was better when it sucked. You kids don't know how good it is.
It's better when it sucked. Yeah. Aliyah was hard. Aliyah was super hard in the early 90s. And we made Aliyah, and then after we made Aliyah, 2 months later, they made like a new rule that all Olim get a bunch of money.
So is part
we
of
just
your,
missed
is
it by
part
two.
Of your, is part of your reason why... By the way, I use... Nefesh B'Nefesh helped me... make Aliyah and file the paperwork and all this. I did not get 1 cent from them. I did not get 1 agura, 1 shekel, not 1 tiny bit of money. I got my whatever the salklita you get for coming here. That's it. I got nothing else.
The salklita is what I'm talking about. Is more now than it was in the 90s.
Well, inflation is more now than it was in the 90s, but I understand what you mean.
Like, they signed some contract and all
that. Do you think that part of why you're feeling this way about some of these people is because of what it was like for you, and you're going backwards
because
you don't know how good you have it?
No, because I'll tell you what, I'm also extremely aware that I was very young when my family made Aliyah. I was not by myself when I met.
And you didn't have anything to do with
anything
to get on the plane.
Barely that. Barely, no. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about, you know what? You. I'm talking about all of my friends who life is hard, but they never walk around thinking that somebody owes them something.
I was never raised to believe that way.
Oh, I'd like, yeah, Israel needed to fix their policies about bringing people in. And if you can open up a mall, you can open up a plane for people who are vaccinated, especially considering the malls are letting people in aren't vaccinated in this country.
All right,
now I'll let you call it.
That's going to do it for us here on episode 1 of season 8 of Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny. That guy's Mike, this guy's Johnny. We are
just in case you're new.
Thrilled to have had you here, to have had steady numbers and steady comments. You guys are...
Feels good, doesn't it?
What?
This is what I wanted back.
I'll tell you at 1 second, as soon as the show's over, I'll tell you something that doesn't feel so good. This is not related. This is not related to any of you. This is not related to any of you. It's an external circumstance. I don't want to get into it on the show right now. But we love you. We'll probably be back in 2 weeks. Have a good one. And we appreciate you. Okay, bye.
Peace.